Hallelujah. In the name of Christ, we commence our ninth class of the book of Matthew. Before we go into the book, there's a question. The question is that Preacher Booty spoke about testimony of sister who unknowingly engaged two brothers, to a brother, who already had sexual relationship with another person, and how God revealed this to her so she was able to break off the engagement. My question is, we have a married couple in our local church, both of which love God greatly now. But one of them sinned in their youth, and therefore this couple were not married in the chapel. However, this person was honest and open and repented about this sin to their significant other. My question is, that is the marriage, this marriage a sin in the eyes of God? Is this couple committing adultery? So yesterday I shared with that sister who was engaged to a brother who already have sexual relationship with another sister. So we can see that brother, he did not repented from his sin. And because if he would have told the sister and pray about that, it would be different, right? But this brother tried to hide the sin they already committed with another sister. So that's why the sister feel that there's no way she can even pray about the situation, because he's not, he's not repenting. But here, this question is that, yes, this couple, they were engaged, right? They were engaged. But one of them have committed sin previously. But then we have to look at this sin. Is it, having sexual relationship with that other girl, right? And then we also have to look at, what kind of sin is it exactly, right? Because it weighs differently, right? It weighs differently. But of course, anything that you should do between a wife and husband, we should not do with any other person, right? Any other person. So in this case, I don't know how many years this brother have commit this sin, but the person who wrote this question said the person was honest, was open, and repentant, right, and repented. Maybe this person been repenting for 4 or 5 years already. And because of this, maybe God already forgave them for their sin. But nevertheless, if this sister wanted to marry this brother, she had to pray really, 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 really hard to make sure that it's God's will for her to marry this person. But, so overall, yes, when a person already commits sexual relationship with another person, it's a sin. But after many years later, right, maybe they did it once, and we don't really know the circumstances, right, the situation, all these things that, that the person go through. So first we have to look at case by case. And for me, there's no way I can, because I don't know the situation well. Right? So the best way is to ask a local minister, right, exactly what's going on with his brother. And what did he exactly do? How many years ago, and all this time, has he been repenting? And how many times did he commit this sin? So when we do this, and we try our best, but overall, in general, right? Yes, when you have sexual relationship, when you fornicate, if you fornicate with another person, this is sin. So if the sister married this person, and then, the chance for her to commit sin actually is quite high, right? But if this sister evaluate the situation of this brother, for example, if he commits sin 6 years ago, right? He was a freshman at college, there's a lot of temptation, and it just happened one time, right? One time, right? I'm just using this example, but don't quote me on it, right? Don't go around saying, Preacher Booty say it's okay to marry someone who has sexual relationship with another person. No, I'm not saying that. It's a case-by-case situation. But if this sister, what I would encourage her, okay, you should fast and pray for this situation. Fast and pray. And if this brother, for example, he did not have the Holy Spirit before, and then 6 years later, God blessed him with the Holy Spirit. So we can see that God had forgiven him for his sin. For his sin. But nevertheless, you really must pray for him. Make sure it's God's will. I'm not saying pray one, two times. I'm talking about months of prayer. Months of prayer. But, and then you have to take the consequences. That brother, every sin we commit, we must pay the consequences. And we hope that God will forgive us, you know, punish us now, and not later for eternal life, right? So things like that. So is that clear? Is that clear? Yes, it has to be really case by case. If I have to deal with this kind of situation, I really have to sit down with a brother and with a sister and do pre-marriage counseling with them, right? And the two of them must fast and pray for really for God to guide them. But if you fornicate before you're married, it's a sin. It doesn't void, right? But afterward, they have God have forgiven them or not? Just like you and me too, right? Maybe, you know, 6 years ago you did something that's really bad. But now you're here in church and you know you're teaching RE. Why? Because you truly repented. And you know yourself you truly repented now, right? And you truly God truly have forgiven you for what you have done. So that's between you and God. Between you and God. And then if a sister wants to marry that person, this brother who committed you know, a sexual relationship with another woman, then between her and God also. Between her and you know and her husband to be, right? So it's complicated overall, right? But keep yourself pure. Then make things easier, right? Keep yourself pure. Don't fall in this kind of dilemma, right? Don't fall in this kind of dilemma. When you fall in this kind of dilemma, and then the hope that's inside of us is not so secure, right? Sometimes we have doubts, right? Did God forgive me yet? This and that. So that's not a way to live life, right? So please keep yourself holy. But if you have committed any kind of sin, my advice is please repent. Fast and pray, repent, and truly ask God for forgiveness. Because God is also merciful. God also merciful. Okay? Alright, let's go back to the book of Matthew. You know, we didn't finish chapter 6 yet, and we have 22 chapters to go, and we have 4 more classes, right, including this one. So if in any particular chapters that you guys want to study, then we'll do that, right? If not, if we have more time, I'll go verse by verse. Because I'm trying to think, oh, you know, which chapter is which verse I should share. But every time I read it, I'm like, every verse is so good, right? Every verse I want to share, so you're not going to have time to do all that. Is there any particular chapters that you guys want to learn about? Oh yes, should we just go with the flow? So tomorrow we have 2 more classes. I will use the 2 classes for chapter 13, right? The 7 parables of the kingdom of heaven, is that right? No, it's 8, right? It's 8 parables, not 7, 8 parables, okay? But for now, let's continue that, okay? If you guys don't have particular let's continue. What's that? Chapter 7? Sure. Okay, let's go to chapter 7. So, yeah, so chapter 6, verse 19, 20, make sure, right, your treasure is in heaven, right? Because where your heart is, where your treasure be also, right? And we know that the lamp of the body is the eyes, right? Make sure you use your eyes to look at things that is pure, that is holy, right? Because if we use our eyes to look at things that are pure and holy, our whole body also will be pure and holy, right? Then verse 25, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, right? But first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. And this is a true saying. Please keep that in your heart. If we truly put God first in our life, God would never, ever allow you, right, to go starving, right? And I always tell my niece, right, when you go to college, what is your goal to get for grades? Get all C's, right? That's your goal. Get all C's. But make sure you get all A's in Christ. Because for me, I believe you get A's in Christ will not allow you to get C's. You understand what I'm saying, right? But if you want to get A and you just want to have a C in Christ, then you won't even get A. Then you get all stressed out, right? Your life will be not a joyful one. So we have to have the kind of wisdom, really. Look at Job, right? Job, there's four characteristics to describe about him. He was what? Job was blameless, upright. I'm reading Humphrey's lips, right? What he's saying. Right? Blameless, upright, fear God, and shun evil, yes. This is four characteristics. So because of this, right? So when God said, there's not like Job on the face of the earth, did God say, oh, because he has many children? Because he is so wealthy? No. There's not like Job on the face of the earth because he is blameless, upright, fear God, and shun evil. And God said this twice. If God say a person is blameless, upright, fear God, shun evil, you can really take that to the bank, right? Because this is true, true, true saying. Because sometimes my wife, she's like, oh, honey, you're the cutest person on earth, right? And I say, that's not true. Right? You don't know too many people. You haven't gone all over the earth to see all other cute people, right? But of course, to her, I'm the cutest one, right? So thank God, right? But when God say, you're, right? There's none like you on earth, this means there's none. There's none, right? Because God can see everything, right? So that's why when we think about this, so our relationship with God must come first. And then God bless him with children, right? And then God bless him with his career, because he has many oxen, many sheep, many donkey, all this kind of stuff, right? So really put this into your heart and completely trust in it. Of course, we're not saying that when you go to college, be lazy, only get C's. We're not saying that. Well, we say try your best in school, but try even harder to have a good relationship with God. This one brother, really, he went to a school, a no-name school, right? Only 2 years. And then he went and get an IT job, right? And during this time, actually, people with their masters, and I think he even mentioned PhD, right, applied for the job that he's applying for, right? And on the end, he got the job. And he cannot believe it, right? 2 years of no-name, whatever, community, not community, what is it, the 2 years college, what is it called? Yeah. Is it community college, but it's like, something like that, right? So, but the thing is, nobody ever heard of it before, so, but God bless him with his job, and he still has his job. And then his job is so laid back, right? And quite often, you know, I call the brothers around the area to go to lunch, right? And, you know, and we usually go to lunch once a week together, right? So when we come to lunch, after, you know, after like 30 minutes, hey, like, oh, I get to get back to work. This brother, after an hour, leaves, like, hey, what else can we do? I'm like, it's already an hour. I said, come on, let's go shopping or something. I'm like, what about your jobs? No, bro, it's really easy. And him and his boss usually go to Fry's and stuff, right, for hours to buy things, just to play around, right? That's a blessed job, right? So really, you can get all A's, go to the best school. If God is not there for us, we won't get a job. If God will open the door for us, please remember that, right? First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. And we really can take this saying to the bank. It's a promise from God, okay? Now, chapter 7. So any questions, chapter 6? Chapter 7. Judge not that you may not be judged. Right? Verse 2. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Right? So quite often we always use these verses incorrectly. For example, right? If a person asks us, do I need to be baptized to be saved? And we're like, oh, that's between you and God. I cannot judge you. Right? Is that the right answer? No. When a person asks us, do I need to be baptized to be saved? And you say yes. If you don't get baptized, you cannot go to heaven. Right? If you don't go to heaven, there's only one other place to go. That is Hades. Right? So then we say we should not judge. Right? Is this judging them when we say this? No, why not?
Why not?
Yes. We're not using our own judgment. Who say you must be born again of water and spirit? Not Deborah, right? Not me, not you, right? It's Jesus Christ. So in other words, when we use the word of God to share with people, then we must know. We're not judging them, but we reveal to them the truth, the way of salvation. But of course, you must, you know, say it with wisdom, right? Answer with wisdom, right? Like, you know, my young sister, she came to visit us a couple of weeks ago. And thank God, before she left, she was really touched by God. But, you know, she's like a blonde, right? She's like a blonde. She's not too smart, you know? Yeah. And I mean, I have many blonde jokes concerning her, right? But yeah. So, and for her, I just tell her very, very straight, you know, I say, hey, you know, if you know how my nephew, the one living with me right now, that's his mother, right? And you see how her son transformed, right? And she keeps saying, wow, my son is such a good kid, my son is a good kid. I say, yeah, thank God, right? Because God is the one to train him and guide him, right? But for her, she cannot change for herself. And I told her plainly, hey, you better be baptized, right? If you don't get baptized when you die, I'm not going to see you in heaven. And then she started laughing, right? Can you say that to other people like that? No, right? They probably stone you, right, say that, right? So because she's my younger sister, I'm her older brother, right? So I can say it very plainly, right, to her, right? But of course, when I talk to my dad, you know, many years by my biological dad, I don't say that to him because he's my dad, right? I cannot say to him, hey, if you don't get baptized, you can go to hell, right? That he's probably gonna, you know, give me a roundhouse kick, right? Right. But later on, actually, later on his life, when he was dying, I was very straightforward with him, right? I was very straightforward. So use wisdom, right? So it's not judgment. Make sure there's not judgment. The judgment here is like this. Right? Oh, that brother had an accident last week, right? He must sin against God. That's why he got an accident. That is judgment. So that's why for us, really, if we want to look at other people, right, the negative or the weakness of them, make sure to look at ourselves first. When we look at ourselves first, we cannot judge anybody else, right? Because here, right, why do you take the speck, right? Why do you look at the speck of your brother's eye and you have the plank, right? A plank is way bigger than a speck, right? Because the speck comes from the plank. The plank is completely cover your eyes, right? A speck's only very little, right? But quite often, you and I are like this, right? You and I are like this. So don't be like that. Always reflect upon ourselves, right? You know, I really hate bad drivers. Man, I really hate bad drivers. And every time I see bad drivers, I'm like, oh man, what they do on the road? Look at them, right? This and that, right? Then my niece, she want to learn how to drive, right? Then I took her to the parking lot to drive, right? And she's always freaking out driving. She's like, uncle, there's a pole. I'm like, that pole is 300 feet away, right? And we go like 5 miles per hour, right? But she's all freaking out, right? And after that, every time I drive, I see a bad drive, I'm like, oh, yeah, God, have mercy on me. Because I always think about my niece, right? She's freaking out and driving, you know. The pole is so far away. She's all yelling and screaming already, right? So then I can understand, actually, some people really afraid of driving, right? Of driving. And I remember one time, I was already in Christ, right? And I used to live right downtown Boston. And I used to take the train to go to work, right? And my apartment's right next to the train stop. So every morning, right, people are running and running, right, to catch a train. And the train comes every 5 minutes, right? So one time I was walking down and all these people running to the train, like, all these crazy people. Why do I always keep running, right? I'm not kidding you. The next morning, I was running to the train. Because I was late, I was going to be late for my meeting. That 5 minutes would make me, you know, on time for my meeting, right? And I said, God, you're very funny. And one year, you know, I usually go to NYTS with all the sisters, right? All the sisters were eating a lot of prune, right? You know why they eat a lot of prune, right? They're constipated, right? And for me, I'm like, why are you guys always eating prune and constipated and stuff like that, right? Because for me, I have no problem at all, right? The next day, I was constipated. I couldn't go to the bathroom for a couple of days, right? God is like that. So really, things like that, God taught me that don't judge, really, don't judge. They have their own situation, right? If they're constipated, pray for them. You know? Let God will be done, right? I mean, in that kind of sense, right? But don't say the kind of stuff. For me, I make a lot of these mistakes because, you know, quite often I look at people, I analyze them, right? And give them a diagnosis, you know, things like that, right? But I just, you know, learn to stop doing this kind of stuff, okay? And then, next to verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks will be opened. Right? So, and then later on you can see, right, from to verse 12, right? So here, when our Lord Jesus Christ said, but ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock will be opened to you. This means he's talking about a person who truly have a good relationship with him, right? Because here, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you close to our Lord Jesus Christ, you would never ask him to win the lottery, right? We know that it's not God's will to do that, right? So for people who ask, and people who are close to God, right? And sometimes when we ask, we don't know what we're asking. That's why the Holy Spirit is inside of us, to guide us, to teach us, to ask things that is appropriate. So, I mean, but sometimes God is funny. Sometimes God will give you the thing that you ask for. And sometimes it's not good for you, but you keep asking, right? I remember a sister in Taiwan. She wanted to sell her house. And because she's going to move to the state. And after a couple months, she, no matter what, she cannot sell it, right? She cannot sell it. So she's crying and crying, crying. She prayed to God, please let me sell my house, this and that, right? And finally, God allowed her to sell the house. But 6 months later, her area, right, the real estate became so high, she could have sold her house 10 times more, right? 10 times more. Why? Because that area, they buy the area for business, something like that, right? If she would have waited 6 months more, she would have been 10 times richer, right? But sometimes we ask, right? Okay, you don't want to, you know, pray for my will, you just want your will, then I'll give to you anyway, right? Just like one time a sister, she wanted to marry a brother, right? Between 5'9 and 5'11, right? She prayed to God, God, please bless me with a brother, 5'9, 5'11. Actually, and then she ended up marrying a brother, and he's between 5'9 and 5'11 because one leg is shorter than the other. So he was one, he stand one side, he's 5'9. He stand on the other side, he's 5'11. Right? Really, sometimes God is very funny. So, really, don't ask this kind of stuff, right? That's why we must ask according to God's will. Ask according to God's will. Whatever we pray for, God's will be done. That is the secret word, right? To not have our own will. Because we don't know our own will. So one time a sister, her husband is not a believer. And he had a motorcycle accident, right? Then he had to go to the hospital and put the cast on his leg. And every day, her husband is always full of pain, right? He's always, you know, grumbling and full of pain, things like that. And then one night she said, you know what? Tonight I'm going to really, really pray for you. When I pray for you, God is not going to allow you to be ill. You're going to sleep very soundly. So after she prayed for him, he's even more in pain. And he couldn't sleep all night, so he had to go to the emergency room. But thank God, he went to the emergency room, they cut his cast open, his leg was all infected. And the doctor said, if you come the next day, you probably have to cut off his leg. That's how bad it was. But the sister prayed, right, for him to be sound asleep. What happened if he was sound asleep? The next day he woke up, then he get cut off his leg, right? But instead, God listened to her prayer, right? Let him suffer, he cannot sleep, go to the hospital, and then a doctor see it, and get rid of the infection, right? So really, God's will be done is very important. Okay, very important. And we even heard some sister pray for another sister because they are sick, right? And she prayed, she fasted and prayed, and she died from fasting and praying. Yes. Because praying is not to twist God's arm to do something you want to do. Why some brothers and sisters, they are sick? Why? Because God knows the reason, right? Because God wants to train them. But you pray, God, please heal them. God, please heal them. God, please heal them. No. Your will be done. Right? Your will be done. It's not praying that you let me fast and pray to twist God's hand, right? To do what I want to do. really, this, remember when we pray. Yes, we want everybody to be healed who are sick, but make sure we say, your will be done. Why? Because God has training, right? Has training for us, or for them. Just like with my adopted father, right? I was in Dallas at that time, and he had cancer, and he was dying. So, and that was on a Sunday. My mother told me that your dad is bleeding through his nose, through his mouth. He's not going to have long, you know, a long time to live. And for me, because they just sent an instructor from Taiwan to teach me. So I prayed to God. I said, God, you know, please reserve my father, right, until Friday before I go there. Because I really cannot leave right now, because if I leave, the instructor from Taiwan have nothing to do, right? I was the only student during that time, so he just sit there and do nothing, right? And waste the money. So I stayed during the TTP. So when I went home on a Friday, 2 hours or 3 hours before I landed, my father passed away. And I was very upset with God, right? I said, God, why didn't you allow my father to live for an extra 1-2 hours when I arrived so I can see him for the last time? But during the time, I didn't understand God's will for me. But every time, you know, and after, a couple months later, I pray about things like that. Then I realized God loved me so much. And the reason he did not allow me to see my father, because at last stage of cancer, he looks really, really bad, right? Because you're bleeding through your ears, through your nose, through your mouth, right? You're really, really, really sick. I never get a chance to see that. But what the last time I saw my father is during his baptism. So every time I think about my adopted father, I always think the time that he went into the into the water and get baptized and smiling and laughing, right? And singing, you know, on his way to baptismal site, right? That's what I remember. If I would have saw my father during the time that he's dying and, you know, full of suffering, then I wouldn't be that joyful. See, God loves me, right? So that's why he allowed me to not to see my father for the last time in that kind of situation, right? So please, always pray for God's will. No matter what you pray for, always say, your will be done. Your will be done. Right now, maybe you and I go to trial tribulation, right? And maybe we want to be out of trial tribulation. But remember, God is the one allowed to happen. Maybe the reason he wants to happen is to refine us, to make our faith even better. But meanwhile, we pray, God, please give me the strength to go through this trial and tribulation. If thy will, they can take this trial and tribulation from me. But if not, give me the strength. So pray the kind of prayer. That's why we're talking about ask and it will be given to you, right? Seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. Make sure you seek the kingdom of God. Seek his will first, not our will. Now, let's go to verse 21, verse 23. Verse 21, verse 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we see that during this time our Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, can enter the heavenly kingdom. But only those who do the will of the Father. But that day, the day of judgment, many people will come, right, and say to our Lord Jesus Christ, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not performed miracles and signs in your name? But what did our Lord Jesus Christ say? I never knew you. Right? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Who are these people that prophesy in Jesus' name? Who are these people that cast out demons in Jesus' name? Who are these people that perform miracles and signs in Jesus' name? Who are these people? Who are these people? Huh? What are they? Who are these people? Are the churches? Unbelievers, what do you guys think? Huh? Us. These people are us. Because no other church uses the name of Jesus Christ more than we do, really. Everything we do, right? Before I start this lesson, I think I say the name of Jesus Christ like 3 times already, right? We always use the name of Jesus for everything. Why? Because the name of Jesus, we shouldn't use it. But here, make sure we do the will of God. And what is the will of God? The first will of God is verse 13 and 14. This is the will of God. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. This is God's will. God's will is not for the gate to be wide. He's the way to life, the way to eternal life. The gate is very narrow. If the gate narrow, make sure you and I keep the gate narrow. Don't widen it, right? Because nowadays when we go out and preach the gospel, we always have some kind of, you know, excuses, right? Oh, we should not say this, we should not say that, we don't want to offend this that person, we don't want to offend that person, right? Who are we to make the gate wider? If our Lord Jesus Christ said, you must be born again of water and spirit to enter the heavenly kingdom, you and I must preach exactly the same. If our Lord Jesus Christ said, Sabbath is God's 10 commandments, we must keep it like that. So don't make the gate so wide. And quite often, why do we make the gate wide? Why do you think of this? Alex, wait there, brother. Why do we make the gate wide? Are we widening the gate? What do you think? Why? Kathleen, your name is. What's that?
Yes.
The first answer is we don't have enough faith. Just like praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Maybe it is also the narrow gate. But we don't want to pray because we're afraid that, you know, the Holy Spirit will scare people away, right? But God said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that comforts others, not to scare others. But do you and I have the faith to do it? But meanwhile, we want to open the gate, right? Let's not pray in the Spirit anymore, right? And let's not talk about to people about the Holy Spirit anymore. It's all had to do with us. One time I went to a family's house, and you know, and this sister, she's a newly baptized sister, and she's Caucasian, right? And I went to her house, and all of a sudden I see in her house she has a picture of Mary, right? And statue of Mary in her room. And I asked her, why do you have these things in your room? And she said, oh, once in a while I just, you know, pray to her, right? He's like, yeah, I prayed to her. I'm like, sister, you cannot use these kind of idols to pray to it, right? And even to worship it, you cannot do this. And she got so upset, right? And she did not get so upset with me. She said to me, you know how many times brothers and sisters have come to my house and see the statue and see the picture of Mary and see the rosary? They never say one word to me. They never say one word to me. So all this time, they allowed me to sin against God and don't say anything to me. And that night, she brought a whole box of all these statues and stuff like that, and we crushed it, and we burned it, and we threw it away. And she was very joyful. But why? So I asked some of the members, why you never tell her? Oh, she's Caucasian, right? She's very sensitive. You say a certain thing, but you see, when I talked to this sister, she was so upset because no one told her. But we assume, oh, she's Caucasian, right? Our church always have this thing, the great white hope, right? That's one day a white person come to our church, preach the gospel, and the gospel will spread throughout the whole universe, right? Really, we always think. So every time we have a Caucasian believer, we treat them just like Tinkerbell, right? Don't do that, right? We must have the same faith toward them, right? And then one other family, they were going to get baptized. When I walk in to their house, they have a huge statue, right? And they live in a huge one, right? And then he's been true secret for many years, but we're about to baptize him, right? And you know, this person, he loves to have gathering, right? I'm sure many brothers and sisters, you know, went to the family, right, for fellowship. Then I told him, before you baptize, you must get rid of this big, humongous idol. You cannot have this idol in your room, right? Of course, the council member who went with me, he wasn't too pleased that I say that to him, right? But he didn't say anything to me, right? But I know he wasn't pleased, but I could read his facial expression, right? But you know what? The next time I visit him, the idol is gone. And his idol, I'm sure, cost him a lot of money. It's gone. So quite often, the true seeker, they have faith. If you and I have faith. But if we don't have faith, then what are we going to do? We don't tell them to do this, we don't tell them to do that, right? Let's go to Book of Acts. I really love Peter, right? The way he speaks to new believers. I wish I could do this, but I cannot. Chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 19. I'll start from verse 18. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, verse 19, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Verse 21. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22. Repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Verse 23. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Wow! Peter, how can you talk to a new believer like that? Right? Because Simon the sorcerer, right? He's a new believer, freshly baptized. But he can, because Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he told him, right? Look, right? Verse 20, Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Your money perish with you. Why? Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. If I was Philip at the time, I'd say, okay, Peter, that's enough already, right? Because Philip was with him, right? And Philip, the one who's baptizing this Simon, right? And Philip might be saying, hey, Peter, take it easy, brother. Take it easy, right? But he didn't stop there. Look at verse 21. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Okay, Peter, that's definitely enough, right? But no, look at verse 23. Repent, therefore, this is your wickedness, and pray to God, perhaps, the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. That definitely should be enough. But look at verse 23. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. This is the true man of God, right? The reason he said this to Simon, I'm sure that he loves Simon. He wants Simon to be, you know, to head in the right direction. So he did not open the gate, right? Wider. But he even made it more narrow, right? But look at verse 24. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which have spoken may come upon me. He repented. He repented. And that is the goal. So please, brothers and sisters, of course, we must use wisdom, right, to talk to true seekers and talk to new believers, but always tell them the truth with love. For me, if you don't tell the truth what they need to do to be saved, this is not love. This is not love. But we get to the point that we dilute the truth. We dilute the truth. Why? Because we ourselves are lack of faith. If we are full of faith, whenever we speak, God will be with us. But if already we don't have the faith and trying to open the gate so wide, I mean, if you are too fat to get into the gate, right? The gate is too narrow, what should you do? What should you do? Huh? Yes, exercise and lose weight, right? Don't go and try to make the gate wider, because you can still be fat, right? So, for God, God wants us to enter this narrow gate. And this gate is not movable. The doctrine that the church is not movable. Because God said it must be exactly the way it is. So we must preach the truth, but allow people to exercise, right, to do what's right, to do what's good of God's will, so they can also fit through this gate. But quite often, we are too fat. We cannot get into this through this gate, so we feel like no one else can get through this gate because I cannot get it. I'm a TGC member, and I don't have this kind of faith, and I believe that teaching is too strict. So other people that I, you know, that I preach to, they must also have like less faith than I do. So we must dilute it, right? Open the gate wider. Please don't do such things. Don't do such things. Keep the truth. must be born again of water and spirit, you want to enter the heavenly kingdom. Yes, if you want to have power in Jesus Christ, you must have your foot washed. Yes, if you want to overcome and sanctify your daily sin, you must receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to be resurrected on the end days, you must take Holy Communion. If you want to be blessed and have rest every single week, come to Sabbath. This is God's teaching. If you and I really have this kind of faith and continue to have this kind of faith, God will be with us. It's a promise, God will be with us. So that is the first will of God. Don't widen the gate. The gate is narrow. And many times, when God sent the flood on the earth, how many people were saved? What's that? Eight, right? And how were they saved? What saved them? The water, right? The water, right? Not the ark. Right? You guys? Right? Not the ark, right? We always think the ark that saved them. No, but the water. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Who formerly were disobedient when once divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Saved through water. This water is the doctrine, right? It's not, the ark did not save them, the water saved them. So our church, yes, the name is True Jewish Church, but if you don't preach the true doctrine, this church cannot save anyone. But if our church is True Jewish Church, and we preach the true doctrine, that this church can save people. Not because of the church name, because of the doctrine that we preach. Just like the Israelites, when they left the land of Egypt, right? And they went through the Red Sea, what saved them? What saved them? Because going through the Red Sea represents baptism, right? What saved them? What saved them when they go to the Red Sea? The water. Why did the water save them? Huh? I'm sorry? Yes, it killed all the enemies, right? The Egyptian soldier, it came upon them and destroyed them and killed them. Just like baptism killed all our sin that supposedly follow us. So please, brother and sister, don't let anybody ever tell you that doctrine is not important. That's a lie. Doctrine is what makes the foundation strong. Doctrine is according to God's will. If you read the New Testament, many times Paul writes about doctrine, right? Or decree. So don't think, oh, our church is too legalistic, we have too many doctrines, God is love, everybody will be saved. If you want to preach like that, go to other churches. They have thousands of members, right? And they have all different kinds of people. And for brothers, you want to find spouses. Those churches have many girls, right? Sisters, same thing too, right? So what I'm saying, why are we still here? If we're going to still here, right? Do what is right. Do what is right. And what is right is to stand firm in our doctrine. Doctrine. And it's according to the Bible. It's not man's way. Right? Let's kneel down and pray together.